Welcome to the Tripod Live with Winnie and Clarkie. Well, unfortunately, guys, if you didn't hear the news, Clarkie has quit not just this show, but all NRL content after that Titans game. So farewell to Clarkie. We appreciate everything he did this season. I am only being sarcastic. I have to be careful because people take my sarcasm too seriously. Maybe I haven't got the art form quite right. As you caught on the recap, Clarkie was actually up in Brisbane. We were fortunate enough to catch up together. Well, fortunate for me because we saw that historic Titans-Dolphins game in person, and one of us enjoyed it a bit more than the other, as you can imagine. And Clarkie was due to be home to do the pod with us tonight, but his flight has been delayed, so he's probably right above you if you live in Sydney right now. So I am going to barbecue alone, so bear with me as I am at the control panel while I try and give you all my thoughts. And I hope, as always, because we are truly live, that you can interact with me too and shoot your comments through. I'll do my best to bring you guys into it as well. But firstly, a bad 2 weeks for me on the punt. You know, yesterday we swung a winning round into a losing round, losing a best bet and a mixed matchup. Basically lost them both because we needed one more try out of the Roosters. And, you know, that looked to be in a good position. Certainly 20 points at halftime, it wasn't to be. I will do a lightning recap of the Anzac Day games because you haven't heard about those yet. But, of course, I have to just be honest with you guys. I am really frustrated with the best bet results this season. It's not I don't want to be, I never want to be saying, oh, if one moment here, one moment there would have changed it, because you can always say that about any bet in any direction. But what's really frustrating me is I feel like I really am seeing the games well this year. It's just a case of which plays I ultimately pick. I mean, last round, dived in on three games for best bets, had a winning side in the other five out of five, but one and two on the ones I pick. Importantly about punting, and it's a rule for everybody, you will get frustrated. You will get really tough runs. There's no magic potion. I wish I could guarantee a winning spree. I can't. I'll always share what I think's the best bet and why. You decide for yourself. Of course, we always want to refine our method and basically just come up with the best opportunity we can to be successful, and hope that if we're finding decent plays, more will go our way than won't. So I'll share with you, I actually do like a lot of plays this week. So I've got five best bets to share with you momentarily. You decide which ones you like. If you're frustrated because you've been backing me because you've agreed with them, then let me know in the comments, because this is a safe space. You can vent, I can take it. You know, funnily enough, the five best bets that I've got to share, I am on five away teams, not to give too much away. So someone asked, do I like Cronulla? That's not one of my five plays. Let me put the graphic up on the screen and run you through them really quickly. You can't see my face, but that's probably a good thing. I'm on the Knights plus 4.5 in the first half against Parramatta. I think that's a good solid line. The agonizing losses for the Knights are piling up quickly. Am I worried the Knights will crack? At some point, maybe they will, but that's part of the reason to take first half. Ponga will start this week. Jacob Saifidi was back last round, so he's in again. RCG's a big out for Parramatta. Look, there's a reason Knights have had agonizing losses, because they've been tough this year. They've been fighting in every game, and I don't think there's a huge gap between these sides. Then I'm taking Souths at $1.80 on Ladbrokes and Neds straight up to beat Brisbane. Souths left it late last week, but it's still impressive, and it was a deserved victory over Penrith. And they've got room to improve because Totola comes back into the team, and the big thing is for Brisbane missing Haas. I think the Rabbitohs middles win the yardage battle here, and while both sides have star power, you can't stop Souths if they get ascendancy with their forwards. And then I'm going the Titans, the try handicap plus 1.5 tries, $1.80 toppy and 365. They are away to Manly. I want to take them after their most embarrassing, obviously, game, but really fortnight that you could have, having nearly 30 points straight put on them in both games. If they've got any heart whatsoever, this is the week to show it. And the beauty of playing Manly this week is I think that would be insane if Tom Trbojevic suits up. And if he did, then he still won't be 100%. Then I'm going Roosters minus 5.5. I just backed that on Dabble, $1.85. Best price, $1.86. So you could copy me Dabble or just grab it on Better. They're in New Zealand. Look, the poor Warriors ranks are getting thin. I'll touch on the Anzac clashes in a minute. But I know the Warriors covered and the Roosters did not. But I think East are in a much stronger position heading into this trip and should get it done. And finally, the Bulldogs plus 4.5 alt line on Top Sport against St. George. As much as the Dragons surprised and impressed me yesterday, that's now three in a row they probably should have won. Yesterday was close to their biggest game of the season. I want to fade St. George after such a massive game. And Canterbury have had three straight double-digit defeats. They come into this game as one where they actually have a fair chance. Could be ugly, Dragons versus Bulldogs, but I'll take the 4.5 start. So let me know what you guys make of those. Let's do a lightning reaction to Anzac Day as the comments coming through. Is it worse being a Titan supporter than Tigers supporter? That's a tough one. I wonder when the... Well, they met in round one, Titans won, so you'd have to say Tigers still worse. Lee says, surprise, Clark, he's still alive. He's still alive and kicking. He was even prepared to do the pod later tonight, but we gave him a night off. He's had a pretty long weekend. Luckily, he got to spend time with family, hopefully make him realize that it's not all about footy. Footy's not life and death, because if it was, he might have been coming back in a casket. And Samuel says Warriors screwed for the next few games, so he would probably like my best bet as well. Luke says he agrees with me on Souths, but he is going on playing on the Dragons. So I appreciate your comments. Keep them coming through. As I talk about really quickly about Anzac Day, because we didn't touch on them because we did our recap on Monday. Roosters beat the Dragons 27-26. No good for my best bet, which was over 4.5 tries. Looked great when they had 20 on the board at halftime and another disallowed. You know what really rubs salt into the wounds for me with this one? The Roosters team total was 26.5. But with no Walker, I'm thinking, who's kicking? And I just had these visions of Teddy and how bad he is at goal kicking. I thought, well, if they're getting over that, they've got to score more than 4.5 tries. What happens? Four tries. Swalee kicks and kicks well, slots all four conversions, plus a penalty, plus a field goal, and they scored 27 points with only four tries. That's cruel, but they still should have got five. Someone messaged me and sent me a screenshot that it was $1.19 at halftime to get over 4.5 tries. Anyway, credit to the Dragons because they were down 26-10 with like half an hour to go in this game. And not only did they come back and tie the score, I think the Dragons win the game if Sloan can get to a Moans kick in behind. There was, what, 6-7 minutes to go there. I thought he could have dived for it and scooped it off the ground. He tried to toe ahead, and in that case, he just needed a softer toe. And I think that could have been a famous victory for the Dragons, but alas, they fell short. Radley Sin been another talking point. What did you guys think of that? Because I thought it was a bit harsh, maybe more of a head clash than a shoulder to the head. And of course, that was with 15 to go. That didn't help our cause for the Roosters getting another try because they didn't score while he was in the bin. Let me swap the graphic now to the later game on Anzac Day, which I've got to say was a great game as well. Just not a great day for me. And I don't want to be the guy who blames the ref. I'll let you guys in the comments say what you thought about the refereeing. But we lost the mixed matchup by 3 points. We had 27 on the board with the Roosters. And I really thought I was doing you guys a favor by bargaining with Toppy to get an extra mixed matchup. I really liked that one on Tuesday. And it was in okay position. It was in a great position the way the Roosters looked. 27 on the board, I thought it was 50-50. It was paying 220. And certainly the way the Warriors started, we're in a good spot, although you always worry the Storm can come back. But we lose the mixed matchup by 3 points. And what really grinds my gears, as I said, Warriors led this 18-6. There's three Storm tries that I'm not really that thrilled about. So firstly, I thought it was harsh to even rule a penalty on Dylan Walker for this so-called head slam. It just seems to me like, how are so many players getting sin binned for incidents that the refs don't even blow a penalty in real time? Like, it can't be that bad if nobody notices it, but because there's an injury, we stop and have a look. I feel we overreact to injuries. Of course, Katoa hit his head. You don't like to see it. He got ruled out with a HIA. But did Walker do a lot wrong? Can't players get taken to the ground and sometimes hit their head? And also, can't it just be a penalty? Why do we always have to sin bin? It's so harsh, and Meanie scores in the final minute of Walker's sin bin. So that's one try for Melbourne that kind of went their way on a dubious call. Then the second Meanie try, are people going to tell me that that ball never hit Remus Smith's hands in the air? And we've got a bunker that gets the opportunity to look from every angle in slow motion and find out. And I know technically they check every try, but this one doesn't even get reviewed. It's like it's scored, it's awarded, and then they say try confirmed. Well, try confirmed means you had a quick couple of looks at it and you're satisfied. No, that one needed to be analyzed closely just to see, does it touch Remus Smith's hand? If you can't tell, then award the try. But to not even look at it, it's almost like you want to give that one. And it's a pivotal moment in the game for the Warriors to concede that try there, which pulled the Storm, I think, with the, well, that might have put the Storm in front by 2 points. So that's a massive Massive moment, as Philip Scatbat says, it sure did touch Remus Smith's hand. So that's another try. And then the last Storm try, which sinks our bet. The Warriors had no subs at that point. They're clinging on. The Storm rolls up the field and gets awarded a six again on the fifth tackle, where there's dead set nothing in it. The play the ball's fast as anything. And that's just death. You can't give it. If you give a team six again, you're really giving them a huge leg up. And it annoys me when Christian Welsh is 5 meters offside on every kick pressure and Johnson's pointing at him while trying to kick. And that gets a blind eye turn to it, but they find something to penalize the Warriors. So what do you guys think? I don't want to make it all about refereeing. Look, the Warriors were super tough, all considered, with the guys they lost during the game. I think certainly the class of the Storm gave them the ability to come back. I mentioned Grant. Munster had some big moments. I also thought maybe the biggest moment of the game was after a good Warriors kick that had the Storm inside their 10, a play one carry by Olam busts through about five defenders and gets to nearly halfway and flips field position. I mean, you have to back up your kick return. The Storm did that better than the Warriors late when the game became an arm wrestle. And that's another reason why they lost. It's not all about the calls. And the Warriors coach, Webster, said that himself. They've got to own some of those moments a bit bigger. But as I said, Tohu Harris was out. Sirinen, HIA, Chance was out in the second half. Tavanga didn't play many minutes in this before he was injured. So there's several reasons why it didn't go the Warriors' way. Let's move to round 9. Samuel says, can't let a New Zealand team win on Anzac Day. But John says it wasn't the ref, it's a friggin' bunker. So, yeah, just call it officiating then. We could agree. We could agree not much went the Warriors' way. Let's say that. Now, bear with me again. I'm going to be on the control panel, as I said, navigating these graphics so that you can see the game I'm talking about. And the opening one is Sharks Cowboys, where the Sharks are 10.5-point favorites at the Prison. This is a rematch of that crazy week one qualifying finals game, which, if you recall, the Cowboys scored very late, forced extra time. We got 10 minutes of extra time, and ultimately the Cowboys prevailed. But North Queensland got potentially a season-altering win last week in a game they had to have. While the Sharkies won last week too, but it was against the limited Bulldogs. They're both able to pick their same 17. It's in Cronulla. And I think back to that finals game, which was the last time these sides met, and the line was 2.5. So now it's 10.5. I know North Queensland's not the same team as last year, but should the line be adjusted that much? That's my question. It seems like a high line to me. I know the Sharks are better, probably a shade better in the forwards with no Tau Malolo. I do prefer the Cronulla halves, and I prefer their outside backs as well. So I look across the park, I don't really see where the Cowboys win it. But with the rep players the Cowboys have and that potential springboard effect of last week, I definitely think the Cowboys could come in and play gritty. So it would be Cowboys plus 10.5 or a pass for me. I did consider, as Matt O'Keefe says, plus 12.5 was lovely. I believe he tipped that and we put his comment up a week ago. So I agree, Matt. I think if I could have got 12.5, I would have been with the Undertaker there. 10.5, it was still a lean. Sorry, I'm going to be slow every time. I do try and bring up the next game, which I believe is Eels Knights, which you've got there. And the line is 7.5. Parramatta are favored. You've heard my best bet. I'm going to go the first half plus 4.5 with the Knights. They've both come off unsuccessful trips up north. The Knights got closer than the Eels did to victory, but I don't know if that's a good thing because it's another tough defeat, which is hard to pick yourself up from. Although the Knights have the bye next week, which to me says they can give another all-in effort going into their bye. It'd be huge for them to get a fourth win because it would actually make them 4-1-4 or 4-4-1 going into the bye, which they could probably live with. I've said before, it turns my stomach. They've only got 3 wins this season, given how good they've been with as much disruption as Newcastle has dealt with. Now, I think Newcastle have been the best team in the NRL against the spread. They've covered 6 of 7. So people are going to look at this line and go 7.5. Well, that's a decent start for the Knights. They just cover every week. The issue is, look, the Eels are still a good team at CommBank. That's one of the toughest assignments in the NRL. I know Parramatta's not as good as last season. Clearly, you're missing Marnie, IPAP, but they're still pretty good, even with RCG out. So I've mentioned in the recap, the Knights, is Hastings 100%. They do miss their specialist hooker. I see this game a bit like Sharks Cowboys in that, like, I think the home team gets the win, but I think this game can be close. And I think if the Knights are going to fold or crack, it could come in the second half. So I like getting around Newcastle with 4.5 being a key number in the first half. Next up, we've got a beauty. Let me know what you guys reckon about this one. We've got the Blockbuster at Suncorp Stadium. Oh, I've got to go the long way around to find this game now. And it's Broncos, South Sydney Rabbitohs, as you can see there. And again, my best bet, I went $1.80 head-to-head. The line is 1.5 with the Rabbitohs favourites on the road. And we've got two of the form teams of the competition colliding at Suncorp the weekend before Magic Round, which sets up for a great feast of footy next week, with a beauty that we've got in prime time this weekend. And both sides come in off quality wins. Brisbane's came at a cost. I mentioned before, Payne Haas and Ezra Mann both suspended for hip drops, while the Rabbitohs get stronger off a Thursday game. Now they get in Junior Totola. I think hopefully third time lucky. He's had a couple of injuries already this year. I hope he can stay on the field. And if he can, and I expect he can if he's ready to play, because Souths have such strong forwards that they wouldn't need to rush Totola back. And that's the key to this matchup for me, that I know I've backed against Brisbane the last 2 weeks and I've paid the price, but this is by far the toughest game that they'll have. Well, probably their toughest game since round one. And that middle forward rotation for Souths, when you got Haas out, is the difference for me. Look, if Brisbane's to win, it's going to be another kicking masterclass from Reno. And let's not forget, it's his former team. If memory serves correctly, you guys let me know in the comments. But I feel like Reynolds hasn't beaten Souths yet, because I do think Brisbane beat Souths in the opener last year, but Reynolds didn't even play. So, of course, he wants to get one over his old team. I'm actually looking at the other number 7. I think it's a big game for Ilias because he's got so many stars around him. Opportunities are going to come his way. And I think Ilias wants to show why Souths have put their faith in him. And I'm not ruling Brisbane out. It's anyone's game. When you got superstars, you got Walsh versus Luttrell, you got Carrigan versus Murray, but I'm looking at Jock Madden in there at 6, and I'm looking at the Walters Pakes combination at 9. That's no Damien Cook. So I think the Rabbitohs can knock off the ladder leaders. As Matt says, the Broncos beat them twice. So that means that Reno did get his revenge over the Rabbitohs. For some reason, that was escaping my memory. That must have been down in South Sydney last year. Can't recall, but trust Matty on that one. And usually I'm pretty good with these ones. Maybe I must have been on Souths and blocked it out of my memory or something. Although usually you remember the losses even more easily. So maybe I was on Brisbane. Anyway, that's the way I see this game. I'd love to know what you guys reckon, because Barney says that the Broncos are a bogey team for Souths. Whiten for first try scorer next year. I will talk on Whiten. I'd like to hear what you guys reckon, because that news has been confirmed. Barney confirms as well that Reno has beaten South. So there you go. That means he doesn't need to desperately beat him again. He's already got those bragging rights. Of course, this would be the game he always wants to win. I also want to win the better same game multi again. You guys know they sponsor the show this year and make this market possible, which is the one aspect that's been a shining light of 2023 and Tripod Live, because we've had seven same gamers, but one was a refund. So 6 resulted for 3 wins, all $7 plus odds. And if you want more punting content after this show, of course, check out the Better YouTube channel, where the Fox League Lab panel dissects the incredible clash between Dolphins Titans, and then they look at the upcoming fixtures for these sides. Plus, they deep dive into this very game, Broncos Rabbitohs, which is the match of the round to fuel even more yes SGMs. As I say, I'm cooking up my one, which will be out on Friday afternoon. People always ask me, how do they find it? Tripod Group, Tripod Instagram, Clarkie's Facebook, Clarkie's Instagram. And I tell you guys, dead set, I spend a good hour on this every Friday morning, cooking it up to my perfection and getting it out on Friday afternoon for your enjoyment. Ask yourself, though, what are you really gambling with if you do want to get involved? Because there is free and confidential support. Anytime you need it, call the number on the screen or visit the website. Let's move to Saturday. We got a game in Wagga. I'm going to be a little bit slow in getting us that one up, but it is Raiders Dolphins. And the Raiders, while it's a neutral venue, the Raiders have played at Wagga multiple times, and they are a 4.5-point favorite over the Dolphins. I want to get some of your comments on the screen too. Clarkie's second RDO, Blanchie says. Rabbitohs in better form. Scatbats is a big loss. No pain, Haas. Agree with that. Barney, shame Corey Oates is out or he'd be an absolute lock. And John says, the more the Bronx win, the less I back them. I've kind of had my reasons in each week. I didn't mind the position a couple of our bets have been in. It hasn't got our way. But it is funny because I really rated Brisbane early this year. And then once everyone else realized they were good, now I'm a contrarian. I have to go against them. I admit there's something to that. But look, I just call it the way I see it. Do think Souths win that one, and I'm confident enough to take them for a best bet. Scoutbat says he's thinking Dolphins. Did I say the line is Canberra minus 4.5? And I do think it's a good spot for Canberra with one possible caveat. I want to talk about the Whiten news, and I'd love to hear what your guys' take on it is. Would you have gone? Would you have stayed in Canberra for more money and to continue playing 5/8 where he won a Dally M and a Clive Churchill? Would you go to Souths and play centre and play in an absolutely star-studded team? Would you have gone to the Dolphins for a new kind of legacy and a new opportunity also for the bigger money? I'll weigh in on that in a minute. But in this game, of course, you've got the Dolphins off this incredible victory, as Clarkie and I recapped. In general, when I see a team win, you know, snatch victory from the jaws of defeat, I think that can energize a team. I mean, how confident, how much spring in their step are they going to have at training? But there is always the risk of a letdown, which would make me nervous about playing, let's say, playing the Dolphins this week with the start. Whereas I look at, mind you, Kenny Bromwich coming back in. It's not many weeks this year where we've actually been able to say the Dolphins get stronger. It seems like any week they got someone back, there was always someone else out. So they'd get to add to the team that pulled off the 26-point comeback. But I hate to say it because although I'm a Dolphins fan, you have to favour Canberra here off the bye, which at this point in the season, there's no debate for me. Like, it's very beneficial. You get that rest and recuperation. Earlier in the year, you could argue, well, you lose the reps. You're not building up the match fitness. But at this point in the season where everyone's played enough footy for that to not be a concern and everyone has knocks and niggles, I think Canberra comes in fresh. They got an ugly win at home, which they know they didn't play well in. Jackie Whiten did not play well in that game. And I think that's the key story, which also kept me off this. He's really going to want to play well. I know he's announced his move to South Sydney. I'm sure he's going to tell his team he's 100% with them this year and he'll want to prove it with his actions. But you just wonder, is there a fragmented dressing room or how shattered Sticky will be? It's an unknown for me. So I'm very interested to see how the Raiders go. Like, do they regroup and do they give a good account of themselves in this game? Because Jackie Whiten's beloved by the fans and by his teammates. But I feel like that could go one of two ways. In this particular game, we can't forget how good Fogarty and Whiten did look together at the end of last year because they haven't actually played too much footy together with Fogarty's missed a couple, Whiten's missed a couple. And I think that their halves can be the difference in this game and why I actually considered betting on Canberra minus 4.5 against my beloved Dolphins. Just knowing that this Dolphins side is all together and super confident and, you know, playing better than the sum of their parts. Whereas, am I sure that we can say the same for the Raiders? I'm not. So I left that one alone. Let me see what you guys reckon. Raiders 1-12 says Dens. Jennings still trying to find the try line. Yeah, some say he's still on the ground at Suncorp. Barney says go win a comp with your mates. Will they have a chance? Oh, Lee, I thought Leanne was talking about me saying he's an idiot, but I'm going to say that's probably the call about Whiten's decision. Lee would take the unders for sure, although that might be, I don't know if he mean unders in the contract or unders in the game, in this game, Raiders-Dolphins. Barney, shame no one's getting past Brisbane in the next 3 to 5 years. Never biased from Barney. Keegan says, who wants to stay in Canberra and freeze their nuts off? That's a fair point. Lee says, Raiders at home will get the job done, but keep in mind that is in Wagga, but it's kind of like a second home. They take a game there each year. And Schneider makes the point that they let Reynolds go, saying, this is South Sydney, saying they didn't want to sign 30-plus players to long-term deals, and then did that with Whiten, which is a fair point, to be honest. Mind you, I just think that it is, the Bunnies know their premiership window is right now, so I do understand the move from their perspective. I don't blame Whiten if he wants to take less and go play there. I just feel overall it's we're getting a case of the haves and the have-nots in the NRL, because the small clubs have to overpay to get stars. So your Gold Coast Titans have to pay above market to get a player like David Fifita when other clubs want him. And they start, these star-studded teams like your Roosters, your Panthers, Storm, certainly South Sydney, they can somehow pay under market value and get these players. So even though we've got a salary cap, it's not parity when you know, there's this imbalance. But what can you do? You can also argue it's a reward for running your club the right way, for having a great nucleus, for having great coaching and being a destination players want to play. I don't think there's ever going to be a perfect answer to get a completely level comp. Obviously, I always like the competition to be close. We don't want teams that get flogged every year and teams that are always perennial powerhouses. And, you know, in theory, with a salary cap, you shouldn't have the same teams always top four every year, but quite a few have sustained success for a long time. But I don't blame Jack Whiten. I mean, if he wants to do that because he's going to enjoy his footy more, and often players want to go and play for a better team because they're going to get more rep opportunities, going to get more notice, but he also retired from rep footy. So he wants to win. This is a really harsh truth, but maybe he sees the writing on the wall in Canberra. Like, they had their window. I hate to say it, but their window was when it was a level scores with 10 to go in the 2019 grand final. And sometimes you just never get back there. I mean, will Parramatta get back there with this core? We don't know. Like, sometimes not every team gets to be Penrith and just gets to keep coming back until they find success. So I do wonder if Jackie's looking at that and just seeing a Rabbitohs team that's going to win a lot more games than the Raiders will next year, regardless of who he's playing for. And if he's playing for South Sydney, oh boy, that's such a scary, scary spine, or scary, scary squad, to be honest. How they keep them all under the cap, I'm not even entirely sure. Scatbat is going Dolphins for the upset. JK asks, what number would you get the Dolphins? See, I lean to the Raiders, so I feel like I definitely won over a converted try before I was tempted by the Dolphins. I don't think we're going to get there. Blanchy says Redcliffe would be a great place to raise a family. Not sure about Redfern. Shades of the Warriors, massive comeback win and then lost next week to Knights, Matty O'Keefe says in regard to the Dolphins. John says, take any deal, get out of Canberra. So I'm getting the vibes there, guys, that people understand his decision to leave. Luke says, Raiders off a bye, neutral venue, Finn's crazy win, but worrying about the destabilizing news. So that's what I was getting at. Geez, your comments are coming in thick and fast. I really appreciate it, guys. And if I didn't read them out, I'm putting up even more on the screen. While I actually share a special announcement, one that I'm really excited about, that has just been locked in, and that is we are bringing a massive crew, a tripod crew, to Magic Round Sunday the 7th for the triple header on Sunday. This will be the biggest tripod gathering we've ever had in 9 years. I've got a heap of tickets, and I can already tell you, I won't name names, but already about 20 people who are contributors to the pod and legends that you would know are gonna be there, whether they already had tickets or whether I've got a ticket for them now. We're all going to be sitting together, and I've got more to give away. And if you live in Southeast Queensland, or you can potentially get to Magic Round, obviously, if you're already going, we'll give you the details. You can come and say g'day. We've got a clip from Tristan coming up. He's going to be there as well. This event is thanks to Top Sport. It's going to be, I reckon it's going to be unreal. It's going to be even more fun to be had on the day that I won't share the details of right now. If you're keen, comment keen. I will give a couple of tickets away to people who comment keen tonight, but you'll find out if you won on the Sunday live recap. But if you can make it, I will give you a ticket if you comment keen, for a couple of people, that is. I'll make sure that everyone going is a tripod member, and I think it's going to be an outstanding day out. I can't wait to meet bunch of people face-to-face. So people message me from other states, other countries who are coming along, who I'll get to meet for the first time. So can see some comments coming through. So guys, if you're watching on Sunday, people who have commented tonight will have a chance to win those tickets. And I'm going to be giving away quite a few in the next sort of 7 to 10 days, guys. So stay tuned in the Tripod group and on the page, because there'll be opportunities. We'll make sure every one of those tickets gets given out to Tripod family. Let me now bring up the next game, which is Manly versus the Titans. And the Titans are one of the teams we will get to watch at Magic Round. They play the Eels at Magic Round, but this weekend they play Manly at Four Pines Park. And Manly are a 6.5-point favorite. And I've gone the Titans plus the try handicap. So let me elaborate on that. Manly, I mean, it's gross incompetence if Turbo plays in this one. You've seen him. He's borderline lame in these games. I know he's had moments. Thought he was pretty good against the Storm. But if you're a Manly fan, I mean, you guys tell me. I know the Undertaker is one. Your heart must be in your mouth watching him every play. He should never have gone back on in the second half of that Penrith game when they were down 30 and he needed needles for back spasms, had a hip pointer injury. What's the latest? Adductor. You know, and maybe it flared up last week. So I'm not going to blame Manly for playing him last week, because maybe he was fine, but things flared up in the game. And that's, you know, that's going to happen. It's still a worry. But even if they're 95% sure that Turbo's right for this one, you still don't play him. You back yourself to beat the Titans in this one at home, because I'll tell you what I do know. Manly are zero chance of beating Brisbane in Brisbane at Magic Round without Turbo. You have to make the decision that gives Turbo the best chance of playing in round 10. As Barney says, I'd save him for Magic Round, but Broncos put 38 zip on him with him in last year. And I remember last year he wasn't himself anyway in that game. So don't play him if he's not right, because you're only risking your future and you've got nothing to gain short term. So it's sad to see, but I feel like this line is accounting for Turbo being in there. So I'm going to take the bet while I can before he gets announced out, which may not be till Friday. I know they've got KO Weeks, and that's a pretty handy replacement. That's exciting. And that's another reason to not rush Turbo back in. As for the Titans, they did trounce Manly last year. I don't read into that one, because I was at the Topsport Lounge for that one, and that was another outstanding day out, thanks to Toppy. We'll never forget some of the try-score bets we had. I know some of the boys who are watching now know exactly what I'm talking about. But look, that game was post-Jersey Gate, so Manly lost a lot of games at the end of last year. They probably can't even remember them all. So I don't know if there's strong, you know, revenge factor in this one, but it's worth mentioning that the Titans did get the biscuits last time around. Look, I said it before. I'm not going to write off the Titans after last week. I know that what they're capable of in flashes, and sometimes your lowest point in the season brings out your most desperate performance. Look at, who was it? It was Manly themselves, had 50 put on them by Penrith. The very next week, beat the Melbourne Storm. So I'm kind of looking for a response from the Titans. And I know that's risky, because we've seen them fold like origami time and time again. But I think that's built into the market, all of those Titans failures and their inability to defend their line and their inability to stay in the grind for 80 minutes. So I think this is a larger line than what it should be. And I kind of wish I'd played the Tigers last week with the start against Manly. But I do respect Manly are an improved team this year. But I thought Turbo was closer to full fitness a week ago. Schuster was in last week. He's out again in this one. I believe Cooper Johns is the starting 5'8". Matt Keith says 44. What's 44? Is that how many points Titans put on Manly last game? Schneider says the Titans are awful. Matt also says glad we share a best bet. So I'm not sure Maddie's best bet on this one. Oh, I think Maddie did tip it for the same reasons and took +8.5. I'm taking +1.5 tries. Very similar bets. The way I see it is, if the Titans lose this game by 2 tries with Garrett kicking, it's probably a 10-point plus defeat. So with the line only available now at 7.5, I like the +1.5 try start. Oh, Maddie's correcting me, saying only 44 put on Manly by Penrith. It felt like 60. That's how bad they were. Plenty of people saying keen. So I want to get these tickets too. the most loyal and the keenest Tripod members, because I think, yeah, we're going to have a fantastic day at Magic Round. And even if you don't need tickets, or even if you don't win them, get yourself a ticket. We'll let you know where we all are. We'll have some giveaways. We'll have some stuff, some prizes and some stuff. Just be able to catch up. So looking forward to it very much, guys. But that's in 10 days' time. I think I've given you my thoughts on Manly Tigers. Let me move to Panthers Tigers, which is in Bathurst. Once again, I pull these graphics up manually with Clarkie in transit. He's our graphics man usually. But hopefully you can see there that the West Tigers are an 18.5-point underdog to the Penrith Panthers. Huge line, although Tungo is out for the Panthers. Tyrone Peachy comes into the left center spot. Penrith's off a loss and a long turnaround. I do not want to take on the Panthers, so I know I'm not taking the plus 18.5. Let's start there, because once this Penrith side gets on top in a game, they're almost impossible to stop. I guess you could say Souths did stop them. Wests are not Souths, that's for sure. Charlie Staines and Kapoa are out. No Faluma and Naden come back in. I know Wests are going to lose. I'll say that with a fair bit of confidence. But the truth is the Tigers are not as bad as a lot of people think. So I wasn't going to lay the 19.5 either, because Penrith's not full strength. Still no Liam Martin, still no Vicious Fish. So I'm just going to pass this one. And before I move to Sunday's matchups, we've got two more to cover and a mixed matchup to share. Let me play Tristan's video about how the markets are shaping up, and I'll keep putting your comments on the screen too.
G'day everyone, it's Tristan Merlihan here from Top Sport, and we had a very exciting round 8 of football where 6 out of the 8 games really came down to the wire. It's been a tough old week to price up this week, because obviously the teams have come out a day later. We've got teams on quick backups, a little bit less time to reassess everything. So I think expect these markets to jump around a little bit in the lead up to game time. Probably a couple of the biggest moves, or the biggest move certainly, has been the South Sydney Broncos game, where this game opened close to Pick'em. South are now clear favourites. Obviously, a couple of key Broncos are out of that game, but they, you know, they're also at home and they've been playing very, very well. The game that's going to probably move the biggest is the Manly Titans game. Obviously, Turbo hurt himself there in the game against the Tigers, and he has been named, but I think it's Friday they're going to announce whether he's in or out of that side. So I'd expect either way there's going to be a sizable move. And then the other game that has seen some support, which is a little bit surprising for me, is the Warriors have been back from 7.5 into 6.5. Obviously, they were down on troops there at the end of that game against the Storm, and I probably expected they might miss a few other players, and maybe they might the money might come for the Roosters. But certainly punters are liking what they've seen with the Warriors so far this season. So that's been the other move, as well as the Dragons, should I say. They've gone from 2.5 out to 3.5, where the Bulldogs again are battling for troops. So we'll see how this weekend works out. We've got Magic Round the weekend after, so Jacob's obviously going to get a few people down. I'm looking forward to meeting a few of you. I'm going to get out there with a few of our crew as well. So cannot wait for Magic Round. It's going to be a really, really good spectacle. We're going to be there Sunday in 3 good games, and hopefully the pitch holds up really, really well. So good luck to everyone if you're having a wager this weekend, and as always, gamble responsibly.
Thank you, Tristan. So you'll get to meet Tristan as well, and some of his team too. So we've got a big crew, I say that much, and get involved. As Tristan said, there's been some money for the Warriors, but it's not my money. I do like the Roosters. You can still see the line is still 6.5 on Top Sport. With the Roosters favoured in New Zealand. CNK, Jazz Tavanga, Toho Harris are all out. Tuipiki gets the start at fullback. Curran is the lock for the Warriors. Corey Allen will be on the wing for an injured Daniel Tupou for the Roosters. I'm looking at the Roosters, that they are still a really strong team on paper. And when you've got Crichton and Tupanua, first games back under their belt on Tuesday, so they can only kind of go better. Manu looked very dangerous, as we expected, at 6. They got the confidence that you do get when you snap that losing streak by getting a win, but I feel like you get no complacency out of the favourite Roosters, because they nearly let a 16-point lead slip to the Dragons. And this bet for me, I didn't want to rush out and play against New Zealand. They've burned me before. I feel like one of the only times I was actually on New Zealand was yesterday, when I needed them to keep the Storm under 27 points. And that's the one time they didn't defend well this season, but it wasn't their fault. The injuries piled up, and they don't get many of those troops back in this one. So it comes back down to firepower for me. I think the Roosters get the job done in New Zealand. So I will actually not only take the -5.5, which is $1.86 on Betr, but I'll build it into the mixed matchup too. And I'll go straight back to the well, or as old man Winnie Senior says, look for your money where you lost it. We'll go Roosters to outscore the Warriors this time. Max stake 200 at $2.45 on Toppy. You can get a Toppy account with the code TPLIVE. So this bet needs the Titans to defend. That's not much to ask, is it? I actually think that's kind of the point, that the Titans had their manhood challenge this week, and therefore I think players are going to fight for a first grade spot. And like, this Titans team are not completely useless dead ducks. I think they can come in here and not only defend to prove a point, but defend to give themselves a chance in the game, especially if Turbo's not in. And then I go back to the fact that I just think the Roosters, despite the fact that the Warriors won't give it up easy, the Roosters, I can't see the Warriors going the distance for 80 with East. So I think we'll have a few points. Or I think it'll be a modest total that the Roosters will have to chase down for us on Sunday. One more game to cover, and I do have a best bet for it, as you have heard. And I wonder if the line has moved at all. I took the alt line of +4.5 at $1.80 with the Bulldogs against the Dragons. The current line is 3.5, and I have seen that drop 10 cents because when I tipped it, the Bulldogs were +3.5, $1.95. Now they're $1.85. So I would dare say that the best bet has something to do with it, which is interesting because best bets aren't even going that well this year. But it shows there's some faith, guys, and I always want to repay your faith. And I always do my very best with these tips. And I couldn't go past the Bulldogs, but I know there's a good case to be made for both sides. So I'd like to hear what you guys think. Someone said that's not the mixed matchup. Roosters to outscore Warriors. Am I going crazy? Let me double check that, but I shouldn't lose my place because of one comment. But if someone else wants to double check that, let me know. I will in a minute as well. Just getting back to this game, Dragons, Bulldogs. Sorry that you kind of threw me there. I hope. Oh, the Roosters are playing the Warriors. So you're right. I am off my head. It should be. It's because I didn't have the graphic, and I'll comment it again. Roosters to outscore Sea Eagles. Sorry, I am losing it. At 245. So no, you don't get, thanks for correcting me, the beauty of live pods, eh? You don't get the Roosters to outscore the Warriors when they're $1.50. You get the Roosters to outscore the Sea Eagles. So they're both about similar magnitude favorites, and I've got a best bet on the Titans plus the 1.5 try start. And, of course, I've got the Roosters minus the 5.5 in New Zealand. So everything I said before, and that's why I was talking about the Titans' defense, because we need the Titans to hold Manly to a total. I want something under about 24 points, and I think we'll have a great bet at 245. Thanks for having my back, guys. You guys have helped me correct that little mistake there. Okay, so that's, you know, five best bets this round and a mixed matchup, but let me just get my teeth back into Dragons Bulldogs, which is the last one. It's at Wynn Stadium. And I hate to say this, but boy, it's got to be tough being a Dragons fan. And they, because they went close the last 3 weeks. They really could have won the last three games, maybe should have. Now they come into a game actually as a favorite, where in the past three, they were underdogs and had a chance to win. I don't know if I trust the Dragons as a favorite. Do you? You know, are they much better than really anybody this year? I just don't feel like the Dragons play a brand of footy that dominates any games. So I give the Dogs a big hope. I feel like the Dogs have had three games where they had very little chance of full, like close to full strength Bunnies, Eels, Sharks. But now they come into a game where the losses that the Dogs are suffering aren't going to cripple them, because I actually think on paper it's a pretty even game. The Dogs are not a terrible outfit either. I see these teams as very evenly matched, and therefore I've got to take that start. Whether the Dogs get an outright win, which I would reckon they're a serious chance, or it goes down to the wire and you can take the 4.5. Ryan says Penrith Tigers is officially a sellout. I don't know if I mentioned before, that one's in Bathurst. So we've got a couple of games in the country this week, and then Magic Round is upon us quickly. So I'm sorry that I didn't get these tickets earlier. to help people out who might have come from further afield. But it's just, it's been a lot of work behind the scenes to get so many tickets to make this event come together. And I am excited that so many people that have reached out to, who've contributed to the pod one way or another over the years, so many of them are keen and are coming along or told me I'm already there and can't wait to meet up and catch up. So that'll be great. Thank you to everyone who commented and tuned in tonight. If you're going to be on my bets, let me know. But if you're not, let me know if there's better bets out there. Otherwise, there's no take on Toppy try scorer tip, just because, as we said, Toppy, Clarkie's in transit, but you've got my five plays in a mixed matchup for your consideration. And we will be back, and I'll be joined by my partner, Clarkie. He'll be revitalized. He'll be back on deck on Sunday after full time to recap round 9. I hope you all have a great weekend and best of luck. Punt responsibly if you are backing any of these plays or your own. And as Schneider says, Lego.